forever. Dog.
Sassy. Tarot. Sassy. Sassy. Tarot. Welcome to an audio journey through the world of tarot with me, Veronica Osorio. So sit back, relax, and let the journey begin.
To see the cards from today's episode, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Sassy Tarot Pod. That's S-A-S-S-Y, tarot, like a regular tarot, T-A-R-O-T-P-O-D. Sassy Tarot Pod. Sassy Tarot Pod.
Oh my God. Welcome to Sassy Tarot. I'm Veronica Osorio, and what you hear is a guitar, but the guitar person... Peter Mark Kendall, as always. And today I'm so excited to welcome our guest because, she's the coolest and the best. And we just finished a full season of Strange Angel. Oh my God, everyone, all of our guests have been from Strange Angel. But it's perfect. I think it matches this perfectly. J.R. Hawbaker. I fucking hate myself.
You did it.
Yes. So you're a costume designer.
I am.
From the show.
Yes.
And you and I spent countless hours trying out full outfits. Same with Peter, right?
Many, many hours.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
I'm so happy to be in your realm.
I'm so excited. This is so exciting to me. What we do here, so right now I gave her my tarot coloring book and she has some colors. So that's what's happening right now.
Oh, yes.
And JR brought us. So she has been doing costuming for a long time. Is that costuming?
Yeah, costume design. Yeah.
Yeah. Costuming. I at some point learned the difference between like wardrobe and costume and how like it was so different and offensive if you're like your wardrobe. And
oh yes, that's an industry town thing. Yes,
yeah, yes,
we call it costumes.
So costumes is like you're designing what the character is gonna be. You're designing who the person is going to be, basically.
Yeah,
because I don't know about a lot of people. Maybe you don't pay attention to what you wear, and sometimes I definitely don't. Like today is a good example of that. But when you're, we're kind of like in a weird way in the same realm. When you see someone's closet, you can really tell, to me, you can really tell who they are as a person, what mm-hmm. they think. I have a friend who has the most unusual shirts and skirts. I can't put it together how she decides to buy mm-hmm. or make her outfits. And every time I see it put together, she puts it together. I'm like, this is who you are. This mm-hmm. totally works. It would never work in my closet. I don't know how I would make those buying shopping decisions. So how you dress definitely makes a lot of who you are.
Sure. They're like cues to, that's like, I feel like all clothes are sort of, it's not necessarily about the clothes. It's about the person who inhabits it.
Yeah, for sure.
And you can catch pieces of who that person is just by how they fold something or how they don't care if something falls off their shoulder or if they do care if something falls off their shoulder.
Right.
And it's a fun way of reading into the truth of maybe someone, even if they're not necessarily speaking to you. They're sort of speaking to you through the clothes.
They are saying so much. They are saying so much. Partly why I'm so attracted to having you here is because we do speak, I feel, speak the language of clothes, but also because the tarot is a very specifically visual tool. and the characters are dressed in particular ways, and that says so much about what the cards are and what the card means. So, for example, the Fool, I just talked about this in a special episode, has like snowy mountains in the background, but he's wearing like leggings and like a fabulous like little short thing, and it's like
the cold doesn't affect him.
He's ill dressed. Yeah, it could be like the cold doesn't affect him. It could be like you're ill prepared for what's coming, or it could be like there's so much that it could mean. And sometimes when I'm reading the tarot, the clothes of the characters can speak to me, just like any other element. Actually, I'm very impressed or surprised that you were saying just now that you just rejected a couple of new jobs that you could have done because you're like maxed out right now.
Yes.
And the card that you pick is like a non-character card. It's like the Wheel of Fortune. So she's like coloring the Wheel of Fortune, and there's no real like humans or outfits in it. Yeah. And
it's making my brain feel stable. Maybe because I'm not looking at any human outfits in this picture.
Yes. So you have to basically you put together what this character is going to look like, and then pitch it to people. Like, you have options, and then would you tell us about what your job outside like clothes is?
Yeah. I mean, I kind of think of clothes as like actually the last thing that I'm dealing with.
Right.
Actually.
Like that's like the materialization
of what we're doing. And I can't do what you do or what Peter does. I'm so impressed with what you guys do and how you can inhabit and walk in someone else's shoes and kind of try and find the truth of humanity and then put that on display in front of people. And I can't do that. I have insane stage fright.
But you do it in a different way.
Yeah, this is as close as I can get. And I kind of think of it as like social anthropology of sorts. And I feel like what we're always doing in the fitting room is like sculpting away at the human condition and the human process. And we're all very, very connected individuals. And sort of the fitting room process and the costume discovery process with my actors is so special. And it's really like holding up mirrors to ourselves and to our experiences and to the different walks of life that we encounter. And then in some way, we're just kind of sculpting more than trying on clothes. And we just try and find the right pieces that speak to a certain thing we're trying to transmit. And we're sculpting away in the fitting room. And then we kind of remove all the excess. And then we kind of are trying to get to the truth of something.
Yeah.
And
it's amazing.
Somehow we do it and we land in clothes eventually. We eventually turn around.
Eventually it turns into hats and gloves and
stuff. Eventually we stare in the mirror and I feel like I'm waiting till I feel the energy off of you guys.
Yeah.
Where we are looking in the mirror and you see something and someone different.
Yeah.
And you feel like, but we're waiting and we're finessing and we're fine tuning that moment. We're changing an earring or swapping a tie or we're talking about God knows what. But the fitting room process is a little bit of a fall down the rabbit hole experience. But I love it.
For you, because to you, it's like playground time. I feel like you, so the first time I met you, you had like a million books on the top, unlike so Strange Angel, it's all about the occult and specifically Thelema or Thelema, and all of this like Aleister Crowley specific decks. Oh, by the way, I brought your book back for the first time. Time I've ever said that out loud.
Oh, good. Did you read it?
Yes, I read most of it.
Did you get all my underlined notes?
The new Aeon Magic, Thelema Without Tears,
yes,
by Gerald de Campo. So I saw you first studying, literally absorbing all of the information that you possibly could on all of this that has nothing to do with clothes. It just like kind of like drenched yourself into this, in this info, in this world. And then like the visual books happen too.
Mm-hmm.
Of like the actual time period and the clothes of the era and stuff. And then it was the clothes.
Yeah.
In the archives.
Yeah. Because eventually I love research, but I love the absorption process. And then I think you end up remembering the important stuff inside of your, like, you get a sense memory and an emotional memory
it gets
of
in
things.
There. Yeah.
And then you just remember the important things and you dig it up when you need it.
Yes. It's so major. So to me, partly why I enjoyed that process was because this has nothing to do with Tara, but in a little bit, it kind of does. And I'm sure that it'll come together. It's because, so I have an idea on the page of like this character, right? And then I may have an idea of this character if I'm with Peter and we're doing our scenes, which we had most of my scenes were with Peter specifically. So we're like running lines and that feels like that's a feel, right? Like that adds like it went from 2D to 3D in terms of lines. But then to me, the ultimate dimension of the character is what they wear. Cause
oh, wow, I love that.
That's the 4D. So I keep saying that. So right now Peter is playing music and he's here in a place where he's not, but he is. And to me, that adds to like the fourth dimension of a tarot read. And so that to me, clothes are that. So it's like something clicks. Like the second I'm seeing we're doing a fitting and I try out, let's say five outfits or five full costumes, like full.
Yeah.
The entire thing all the way to
and
photo.
Let me tell you, fittings are a workout.
They're a workout. They have to, like, especially like period stuff. It's like
you gotta have your cardio on to do fittings.
Yeah. First of all, yeah, I have like I twerk in every fitting.
I know we're on the right track when Veronica starts twerking. It doesn't matter what twerking. It is. It could be a hat. It could be a glove.
It could be an earring.
It could be an earring.
I could just be holding something, a pin on the floor. But I will definitely, yeah. If I'm starting to feel it myself, but then. I always give this example, like, you gave me these gloves that are like a skeleton hands. And then I understood so much about my character because then I was like, wow, she's kind of like, there's a little bit of a the grip of death coming towards the other characters' lives. And a little bit, I'm realizing that I am the grip of death, a little bit. Mm-hmm. And that made me feel so many ways about my own character and understood so much and like kept me just like it's a visual like reminder of this character. So like the second I look at the gloves, I'm back into my character again.
I love that.
Clicks me back in.
And we custom made those for you.
You did. And it was the most magical thing ever.
And everybody was like, why, JR, are you so obsessed with making these gloves?
And it's like, because they give them, because they made Marisol.
Yeah, but you felt it.
I did, definitely. And so I'm very, like, visual in a big, big way, and which is partly why the tarot has attracted me so deeply. It's because these cards, as I learn them and read them and do them over and over again, they change as they move for me. So I wanted to start this session by pulling a goddess oracle card from Doreen Virtue, because these ladies are all like dressed in specific ways, but even like Mary Magdalene is like sassy. And I find them so great. So I'm going to move these other cards and just like pull, and I'll give you this.
Okay.
And you can pull any card from here, and we'll start with an oracle deck, and then I'll pull an actual tarot of your choice.
Okay.
Soon.
Okay, pull one card?
Yeah. So this is, whatever you feel. So let's see what this is. Okay, so she pulled Isolde, Undying Love. Wow. So, you know, Kai got this card too.
Oh, Kai was here.
Kai was our last guest, and he got the card, and I feel like I shuffled them deeply. So it's not like I didn't.
I like her braids.
She is all in her spirit. So it's a card of undying love. And I'll read what it says. But this is a card of, like, ending. Of like a little bit is like it's healing your heart through nature is like, if you're missing something that left your life, don't worry, because you'll forever, you can forever, it's like a fountain. So like, maybe we all finish like this season, right? As an example. And we're all kind of feeling that hole of like, oh, we were doing this so intensely every day and now we're not. And then this is like this like weird vacuum. So it's a card of like, it doesn't matter that the actual thing ended, because you will forever be able to draw from it. That what you did, the love you felt for it. Like, it's a lot of...
There was a lot of love, deep love on this project. I feel very blessed on this project. So
Yes.
I actually, yeah, I fully am excited that I pulled Undying Love and you're at the same time referencing Strange Angel, which we just finished.
It just finished. And that's like kind of the message from the card. It's like, whatever you already shared in that place can never leave. It will never, like, you've already planted that love there. Love doesn't, can never leave. It will never go. So it says, are you getting emotional? I'm so...
Well, I just wrapped on Friday. I'm exhausted, man.
Oh my God, congratulations. You are exhausted, I bet.
I'm exhausted, so I'm super weepy.
You're so like, yeah, I mean, I cried though. I finished a week before Peter and I was very upset. I felt like I was like so sad. And then he finished and then I've been... It doesn't feel yet like that's happened, but...
It's a really intense, long process and we... Hang out with each other more than we hang out with our families.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We are family when we're doing this.
It's crazy. And it feels like a weird non-breakup.
Yeah.
So I think that maybe that's why we're getting this card, because Kai got it too. And it says, when it comes to matters of the heart, your help is here. It's all around you, also inside of you. Your inner wisdom may seem quieted by any pain that you feel. Yet, be assured, like you were saying, you're maxed out. Like, you're like, this is done. Like, I'm done for now. Like, I can't figure out stuff. But this is telling you, your inner wisdom may seem quieted by any pain. Yet, be assured that the healing you're undergoing is swift and efficient. And you truly are healing from the inside out. First, your heart must heal from its grief, loneliness, or any feelings that you have that are, like, of that sort, or, like, missing. And then, because if you don't, you first have to take care of your heart. You have to like slowly, you have to do it so slowly. And then this can take some time. So be patient with yourself. Treat yourself as you would any ailing person.
Oh my gosh. I just told Peter that actually the other day.
Really?
I was like, be patient with yourself when we enter society. Because it's like, we've just been under for 6 months.
Yeah.
You know?
This is literally the card of re-entering society, because after a breakup, like I had a breakup where I lived in my couch for 3 weeks.
That's a breakup.
There was like crumbs under my
in like, your slippers and your like, robe. Yeah,
I had body marks of crumbs.
Oh man.
It was very like Tina Fey. Like it looked like the beginning of a Tina Fey movie. It's really bad. But then eventually I was like, okay, I can start hanging out with my closest friends. And then you're slowly like, okay, I can start hanging out and maybe do a picnic or like in a park where there's people. And then it's like, okay, I can re-enter parties. And then I was full-blown partying. And then, you know, like you re-enter society and you come out of your shell slowly.
Right.
Like the winter to the spring.
And actually when I'm like not in the fitting room or not having strangely an ability to talk about imaginary people, I have a really hard time talking and interacting with real people.
Yeah.
I interact better with imaginary people.
Yeah.
And characters.
You're like, what do you want, Richard?
And so it takes me a while. I always say it's like I've gotten better at it over the years. It used to take me I would be a pile of mush for like a solid month after a project this kind of beautifully intense.
This is what this card is.
But I've gotten a little better at it as I've gotten older. I've like learned
that you have a next one too.
Yeah. And so I can feel myself going into this kind of recuperation period, but I, yeah, I'm a lot more hope-filled.
Yeah.
This is going to be over hopefully soon. And maybe I can go hang out with non-imaginary people.
Do you ever do you watch Phantom Thread? Because that reminds me of that.
I know, I haven't seen it yet. I also have a five-year-old, so I either work or I'm at home with my five-year-old, or
right.
I work or I'm at home with my five-year-old. So as far as pop culture is concerned,
I know
nothing.
It's okay.
I'm in a hole. I'm in a black hole, probably for the next 10 years of my life.
You're doing a mission that's large, so yeah. That's amazing. I'm kind of also seeing the similarities between what you had been painting already by the time you pulled the card, just the colors and the kind of, I don't know, pops of... I don't think they're the same, but I see a blast of color. It's also funny that this is such a colorful card, because there are some that are like red and orange.
Oh yeah.
Funny, because this is like all of it's pastels and then like actually sharp colors.
Yeah.
I feel like so he basically goes through an intense creative process. With clothes specifically, and then but it could be any kind of art, and then he needs to he needs to go back to feeling sick and little and like he has no shell, like a crab with no shell. He needs to go back into the ocean and find another shell, because it's too raw. Like he just finished so much. And then he needs to go and hide away until he's ready to come back out. Because he put all of his soul and self into this collection or this thing. I swear that maybe it's not the right timing for you to watch it, or maybe it is the perfect timing.
Right.
Because it's about the creative process and how drained it leaves you, and how... And any kind of project that you're the mother of that project, it's very... draining and kind of insane. Once you're done, no one will appreciate it as much as you do, so it's a little bit underwhelming in a big way.
Interesting.
And maybe people do, but it's still every single aspect of it, and you know every single detail of it,
right.
And no one will
right.
as you do, so it's a little bit
well, the artistic journey is a really intimate one.
Yeah.
You're having constant dialogue with yourself, be it creating a character or creating the clothes or sketching or whatever. Mm-hmm. So and it's as you're doing it all, I feel you're having 30 conversations in your head before you get to one sentence.
Yes.
That gets communicated outside of your head.
Kind of poorly, maybe, sometimes.
Yeah. But right now, because I'm really tired.
I can't
string a sentence together, but yes.
Yes, you are. Listen, I can understand everything you're saying.
It
seems like you're doing great. So I want to continue reading this card, because I feel part of what I believe in with this podcast is that as people are listening to this, what we're saying, how we're talking, I feel like the cards, as the moment you're listening to the podcast, this card applies to also you who are in the car screaming at your children or you who are at home mopping your house. I don't know who are these people.
We have a connection through I believe in that. Like I said, I believe in deep human condition. We can all be kind of each other.
Yes.
And sort of like I said, what we do together is hold up these mirrors to the human experience.
Yes, so for sure.
We can all kind of relate or try if we try to relate.
If we try, we're willing to be open to it. Because sometimes you're nope, and I can't, and I won't, and that's okay. But if you're searching for that connection, I feel you will definitely find clues everywhere. Because we are connected. Which is partly what this card is about. It's about the fact that once you've shared something with someone, you are connected forever. It's a card. It's a classic card of ex-boyfriends and ex-girlfriends in a way. Where it doesn't matter where you're at right now in your life. And if you're not talking to each other, you still have had that love at some point. And so that's forever undying. So you can always look back at that, at least that fact. And you don't have to, maybe the current state of the relationship isn't great. Or maybe you don't really need to talk to this person. Or maybe they're not good for you to interact with. But... whatever it is that you guys built together, it's still like felt, or it can still be a source of joy or like a pleasant memories, or at least you can draw from it at some point. So same with any project, same with anything. Like I did a short film and then eventually it was done, and then eventually I kind of hated it, and then eventually I loved it again. And then I can always look back to it and be like, whoa, I did it. Or like I at some point felt so passionate about this project as I can again. So that's the undying love card. So I'm going to say, this can take some time to heal. So be patient with yourself. Treat yourself as you would any alien person, with caution, gentleness, and tenderness. Next, get yourself out into the world, but not in a harsh fashion, but with outings to parks, forests, and such, which are essential to lightening your outlook. So eventually when you're done healing and kind of like hermiting, you can start going into parks, forests, and such.
Okay.
Nature is the great healer, you see. That's why I'm frequently... this is Isolde talking to you. This is why I'm frequently amidst the flowers and the trees. Although they may seem quiet on the outside, they're quite talkative when you breathe and simply ingest their magical tones in conversation. Funny, it's like your imaginary friends, like your imaginary people you talk to. It's kind of like you can now use nature as that object of conversation.
And actually yesterday on the Paramount lot, I decided, as we were in heavy rap mode, but then I was like, you know what, I'm going to take a walk around the lot and just kind of, and the first thing I saw were all the, actually, like I started really noticing the trees, and we've been on that lot for 6 months
yes.
now, and I didn't
But you've
even,
been in that specific one, in Edith.
Yeah, the Edith Head building.
Yeah,
it was, I didn't even realize there were trees on the Paramount lot.
Of course.
There's like a palm tree right outside the Edith Head building, and I didn't notice, and I started looking around, and I felt really like kind of blessed to be walking around that lot too.
Yeah.
And I had this like connection to all the people who were probably walking around. And I was thinking about how there's probably other shows that are going on at the same time that are super stressed out right now.
Yeah. And you're
And then I was finally watching the trees and how all that kind of, yeah. So it's cool that Isolde
is saying to talk to your nature. It's funny.
Talking to my Paramount trees.
Isolde came to tell you, keep talking to the Paramount outside of Paramount. I had this, my last fitting was the last day I was officially at Paramount, because then my last days were at the desert. And I had a little bit of a Paramount walk. It's okay. It's a Paramount walk on my own as well. And there's a lot of like, wow, all the details I just never pay attention to because I'm just running from fitting to five to trailers to whatever. So this card is like, wow. So it's funny that you got it because it says exactly that. Nature is the great healer. So she says, they may seem quiet on the outside, the flowers and such. They're quite talkative when you breathe and simply ingest their magical tones in conversation. Spend time amongst the forest and the trees, as well as the plants and the animals. And you'll regain your foothold upon this planet. So basically, nature is what's going to bring you back to life, back again. You'll revive your sense of spirit and your desire to tread among the living once again. I promise you that your heart will mend, and that you'll also help others in this fashion along the way. It says you're
That's
healing.
Good news.
You're healing from a breakup, which in a way it is. That's how I felt.
Yeah.
My last day. I was like, oh, this is an anticlimactic breakup, but it was a breakup.
Yes.
Not a breakup, but, you know, it's like that feeling of like, oh, no, I don't have you anymore. You're healing from some other type of loss. The love you send out into the world is an important part of your divine purpose. And you're, oh, if you have a deceased loved one, they're happy. This is like just general meanings of the card.
I like them.
The other thing I saw with this card was like this like X thing.
Yeah, I've been staring at that.
Yeah, right?
Uh-huh.
Because she has the heart in her necklace, and then in her heart there's an X. It's kind of like, and it goes from like pastels to like sharp, or whatever you call that. So it's kind of like going from like nebulous to a little bit brighter to fully sharp image. What about the X is like, because I keep wanting the braids. She has two long braids, and I keep wanting the braids to cross. But what crosses is different. It's like her dress.
Yeah. I don't know. Or like, I was like, maybe because we had Chinese ladies. I was like, ooh, it's like those long nails that come out. Like the dragon
ooh,
ladies.
Ooh, yes.
She's like pointing, but.
It's a little bit like a also. Oh, there's more here. I see. It's kind of like also once you've crossed paths with someone, you're forever crossed paths with that person. Right? Like, I'll forever have known you, and we have already mm-hmm. forever have shared our dressing room time. So mm-hmm. there's no undoing of that. It's all forever we've crossed paths.
Right.
So it's a little bit soothing to know that it, you may be like, I want to keep crossing paths, or like, I wonder if we'll do it again. But it's definitely there. It's happened. Yeah.
And maybe it's because, like, we've been on Strange Angel, and so I see wings everywhere now. But, like, she has, like, a collar that's kind of like wings coming off of her.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Whoa. It's like she has a little carob.
Yeah, she's got, a halo of light, and then her collar is, like, wings.
And then this is...
Says the costume designer getting her tarot.
Very paramount. This is why I wanted to bring the goddesses out, because they're, like... So, like, Vesta that's home, like, she has a vase, and it's just her face.
Yeah.
So that's not that much. Doesn't give you that much info. But then she has, like, a gown, you Ooh. Know, like a gown made of water.
Yeah, that's amazing. I want to make that. That's so cool. I wish I could tell water how to be in a seam and dart it.
Water, be in a seam. So then this one's kind of naked.
Seam, S-E-A-M, not
She's not,
seam.
Like... So we're talking about the goddesses.
I like this. I like this. Is this Pele? Pele? How do I say that?
Pele?
Pele?
I think so.
Pele?
So they're all dressed in very various fashions, according to their culture. So the goddess oracle deck. See, this is like what I'm talking about, this fabric. I don't know what that is, but it looks pretty dope.
Oh, yeah. I would make that out of like... Silk Shantung in 2 seconds.
I love this. So now let's pick a tarot deck. I'm going to pull 3 cards for you. We might need some clarification. And if you're at home and you're still screaming to your children, stop. And if you are driving, just like try to listen to the descriptions. I want to show you a specific card. This is the fabric I was talking to you about.
Oh, cool.
I don't know what that is. So I'm going to pull 3 cards and... So I wanted to give you the choice to
okay.
do like past, present, future, or we can do where you're at, whether you're in the right path, blockages to the sitch, what you can do, and then general advice. We can also do.
Well, so many questions.
I know that's a lot.
How about, because I feel really good about what we just did, but
yeah.
I've had the ability throughout my life to kind of see where I'm going.
Yeah.
And I will say this might be the first time in a long time where I'm having a harder time trying to figure out where I'm going next.
Okay, let's see where you're going.
So maybe it's that, because I spent a long time in this industry doing this.
It's been a long time. And also, it's,
yeah.
isn't it a mix of like what you haven't explored yet?
Yeah.
What you have available to you realistically, or like what you can dream of, and mm-hmm. then going rogue in a totally different direction.
Right.
It's after you've done it for a long time, after you've done something for a while. I was talking to Peter about that with like comedy, where like I feel I can continue doing it, but I've explored it. So like mm-hmm. what is next? It's like it's a big question mark after you've been at it for a while.
Yeah.
Like that mixes both your current interest, brings your knowledge from before, mixes your current interest, and it still like allows you to explore
yeah.
something new.
Because there's still a lot to learn. Like I have so much to learn still. And I think that's why I love the path that this is because every job is new characters, new people, new human conditions, new stories, new ways to relate, new ways to explore. It's a very intense business.
Yes, it is very. I mean, you went through very intense.
Yeah, and the hours are very long, and I have, you know, I love what we do, and I feel more alive and more myself doing what we do together, you know, as a production and on a set. I feel like I'm more myself than when I'm not on the job. But at the same time, it is a lot of hours, and it is a very intense gig. I don't think I've worked less than 12 hours a day ever.
Whoa.
So that's it's a like lot. You wonder what else, you know, what, not necessarily sacrifices, but what are the other things that you've kind of maybe
could be
doing? Not that, I mean, I still have, I feel like if I knew what I wanted to do, I would see it. And since I don't know, I'm in exactly the right spot I'm supposed to be in. And I do love it. Like, I love it. But I guess.
You know what? We're going to do the angel.
Okay.
So this is called The Right Way.
Okay.
And we pull a card to describe the situation. And we pull two cards. One is the right way, and one is maybe what you should not do or be aware of.
Okay.
Sometimes the one you're to be aware of or like what not do tells you more on what to do.
Right.
And sometimes the one of what to do tells you what not. So it's basically just three different positions in which we pull the cards. Unless you feel specifically, particularly, crazily attracted to
one or the other.
One of the other decks.
No, I like it.
Okay. Okay, so.
Okay, so one card.
Pull one first. And then another one.
Okay.
And then another one. And we have a tiny book. So I'm pulling the Kabbalah Angel Tarot. And if you're listening to this, this is for you as well. So the first card we have is the... Whoa, nice. The Chariot, rising. Mm-hmm. And the second card we pulled was Change. Wow. Okay. And the third card we pulled was Ending.
Ooh.
Which is really good in this position specifically. So the Kabbalah Angel Tarot, the way it works is, so it's like the 22 major arcanas, and then they go into the ace 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 through 10 all piled up. So all the ones together, all the aces together, all the twos together, etc. So the 7, which is the card that you have in the current situation, it's definitely a career card, and it's definitely about your star shining as bright as possible. Like, clearly the angel is holding two stars. It's rising. It's called rising. So it's a 7. It's like lucky number going up. It's how do you rise? Like, this is what we're talking about, right?
She's wearing my favorite color.
Oh, really?
I put like you in that color a couple times.
Yeah, you did. And it was truly my shining color. Also, you gave me like, you brought me a gift that it means so much to me because it's like Richard's balls.
You are now really going to have to explain that one. I did not bring Richard's balls. I did bring you some fuzzy balls, though.
You brought me some tiger balls, some fuzzy balls. And I keep saying that Richard, first of all, Peter said that those are his balls. Because I had two like fuzzies in my magenta like short sleeve sweater that you gave me.
To be clear, they're an accent bow.
They were an accent bow
leopard.
With two fuzzy
leopard balls that matched your leopard coat.
I have a wonderful, fantastic leopard coat. And then Peter said that those were his balls. Well, like Richard's. His characters.
I put them on you because you have a little bit of like a purr in your voice to me that I love. You sound a little like Eartha Kitt sometimes.
You said that, the purr.
Yeah.
And I still haven't figured it out, but I love it.
You purr a little bit. Veronica has a purr in her voice,
which I'm
sure everybody is enjoying.
I'm a cat.
And so the leopard balls made sense.
That's amazing to me because also I say that I keep saying that two things with cats. Peter thinks that he's a dog, but I think he's a cat. This is separate. This is just a separate thing. Second, I think Richard goes from Toyger to Tiger throughout the season. So Toyger is a design cat that's like made to look like a tiny, tiny, tiny tiger. And then this character's arc.
I thought you were saying Tigger. Like not, the toy girl. Okay, got it.
Like toy girl. Well, it could be Tigger too. He goes from like cartoon tiger to like actual tiger.
Yes, I agree with that.
So that's like my Peter's character's arc. So okay.
Summed up in a tiger. Toy girl.
So rising. Okay, so and then this is a card of what to do. And it's change.
Yeah.
So it's hang. This is the hangman. This is the look. It's holding two balls in his hands randomly.
They're not fuzzy.
They're not fuzzy. They're just balls. And it's changing like it's kind of like change all the colors of the thing. Change what's happening. Like so, the hangman is a man who took a rope and gave it two twirls around a tree branch, and then he tied one of his feet, and then he decided to see the world upside down because he needed a new perspective on how to do things. And it's kind of a card of waiting for a second and seeing how things move before you react, and seeing things how they move, not only how they move like you're watching things from your current regular usual perspective. It's like watching things happen from a totally different perspective, like you're upside down.
Mm-hmm.
It's a card of spiritual enlightening that comes from changing the way you observe the situation. And then the ending card is in the position of what not to do. So there's, I want to see what the book says. So the Kabbalah Angel Tarot is one of the tarots that I read both as I see it, and also I read the book. Because the book has gems that never stop giving me information. It doesn't matter how, like some of these paragraphs I know sentence by sentence. And just by reading the sentence, I'm like, gotcha. So the rising card, which is the Chariot, is the winning. It's the victory. It's a keep moving forward. Do not stop. You're on your way up right now. You cannot stop. Also, it kind of looks like Chrissy.
Oh, it does look like Chrissy.
From my pro.
Oh my gosh. That's my amazing assistant costume designer.
She's amazing. It oh, she emailed like me. Chrissy. Yeah. She. So it's a little bit like the Chariot doesn't win without the horses. So that's a little bit the Chariot card. But the horses, the thing with the horses is that they each want to go a certain direction. So the Chariot kind of has to pull them to where the Chariot wants to go. So that's the Chariot card, but it's not a bad thing. Like any horse, any person who handles like horses or any kind of carriage, like has to like direct it.
Right.
So usually to me, the Chariot is also means like teams, teamwork. Like you're the leader of a team and you have to decide, you have to be like, but you're all rising together. Like the Chariot doesn't enter the realm it just conquered on its own. First, the horses go in and then you go, you go held by it. So it's kind of like, teamwork moves you forward. There's and it's not just because I know your profession, but it's really because I saw Chrissy. Otherwise, I wouldn't be talking about it. There's a little bit of a break here, maybe like going into the ocean, I think, or like taking a second really to like go into water.
Well, when you said go to nature, I immediately thought of like I saw a water flash in my head, and I've been taking a lot of baths the last 2 weeks.
Really?
Just trying to get on a regular shower schedule again. But yeah. Also
but always good to try.
But also, I just feel like I have to sit in the water.
Yeah. And I feel like this is what's gonna help you continue up. It's like, because I never noticed the water behind it, but it looks like an ocean and it looks like
you're... The sky and the stars, too.
Yeah, maybe you're, like, in a boat where you can, like, spend the night out in the ocean, like, maybe Mediterranean Sea, like, one of those, or cruises or something where you spend the night in a boat, like Queen Mary, or, you know, you don't have to go there, but something, yeah. Something like that.
We did go there. We shot on the Queen Mary.
We did. We did. But somewhere where you can, like, go into the ocean and stay at night is what I mean.
Yeah.
This is not a time to stop. This is a time to continue going with your horses forward. Although the Isolde card, if you add it to it, it's like, don't just like push forward randomly. You gotta like take your second. That's why the ocean's here. In fact, that vacation and that little pause, it's not gonna be a pause at all. It's kind of gonna feel like how you're realizing what's next.
So maybe it's good I didn't start that job yesterday.
Oh, yeah, maybe it's good. Maybe it is good. Because I feel like by you taking a break, you're moving forward.
I feel like sense. I have, yes, this is the first, one of the first conscious moments I've tried to slow down.
Yeah. And it, but funnily, you're not.
Yeah.
Because it's like this guy's in the ocean and it's looking at the stars, but it keeps going up. And Isolde was also like, you already took yourself in a nature walk. You already talked to flowers.
The Paramount trees.
Yes, the Paramount palm.
Yeah.
So here it says, rising. It helps us realize that true self-confidence is actually a confidence in the divine. And the way I see the divine is that's within you. Or you can see it as you see it, you know? You at home see the divine wherever you see it. So, it says, all of our emotional strength stems from the primary source of light. So anything, so what's the primary source of light to you? To me, it's like that voice that tells me. So your voice is going to eventually come and be like, yo, girl, this is what we're going to do. You're already connected to that instinct and that voice. It just needs like a second.
It needs a second. Yeah.
Yeah. It says, the angel shows us that with growing self-confidence and self-esteem, we will become more and more certain that we're nothing without the divine. So it's kind of like trust that voice to come back when it's ready to come back. It's kind of like blind trust in that instinct. Our fears and doubts have been overcome as though having won the battle at Destiny's Crossroads. So for the moment, it does not matter if other battles await us in the future. Now it is essential to take this new path and to set oneself new goals. So this is talking about new goals. And what are they? They must be strived for with real determination. Making ourselves ready for new departures in life and breaking free from previous limitations is now possible. So you can definitely take your courses down a totally different path right now. And this one's talking about change. So I feel like you're going to experience a little bit of change of perspective that's going to enlighten you. And that's going to need... It's funny because this keeps going. The rising and the chariot keeps going, but the hangman is pausing. So it's like almost like your way to keep going is by slowing down and pausing.
Right.
So it is really good that you didn't take that job yesterday.
Oh my gosh, that's so good.
Yes. I feel like it really is good.
Yeah.
This is a time to go slow and ponder. Like, this guy has two balls, and he's like, which one's weighed more?
Right.
And this one is too, like, I'm going to pick this star, right?
Oh, yeah. The other card, Rising, has two stars.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it says, our entire personal and emotional environment benefits from our enthusiasm. We commit ourselves to social progress. So there's a little bit of social progress here. Like, what could bring...
Ooh, interesting.
Some kind of social progress to your life that might give you the direction of your new star. After long nights of doubt, the old self is radiant in the light of a new day. So this card talks about how you now control your life and how you're leaving things behind and how you've just acted with courage and you're entering a new territory. It's just what it says here, literally.
Wow. So, I like this card.
Yeah, it's really, really good. So it says, so a mantra for the triumph card or the rising card, it says, I set myself new goals and celebrate my triumph. First of all, you have to celebrate that you just finished an amazing, like this is period. This is like fringe of society.
Yeah.
And this is like, you had to do with, at the same time, you had to do like your classic Catholic.
Oh my gosh.
Woman.
Yeah, this project
from
was,
the 30s, which is already a thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, you did like priestesses and like.
Oh man, we had every walk of life. This project was like so near and dear to my soul. Like it's got all my favorite things. I mean, it's got science and planets and space exploration, which I'm a nerdist when it comes to that stuff.
Yes.
I have like the Hubble telescope app and I check it every morning.
I love that.
And it has all of those amazing things. And then it's just, it's looking to show people not as they are on the surface. I feel like it's always looking to show how much deeper people can be and how we can all walk between that space, which is surreal, which is like when you think you know something and then things maybe start to feel surreal and they get strange. And you walk in that place between shadow and light, and everyone does that. And I feel like that is what this show is really exploring. And so it's
no black and white.
Yeah. It's walking in that precipice between shadow and light, and then and seeing your world that you think you know start to act a little bizarre or strange, strange angel-y. And then, so it's been interesting because I feel like to do justice to all of you guys and to do justice to what our amazing like show wants to communicate and our showrunners and the directors, it's like you have to try and like live like you guys do inside of all these people and do them some sort of truth.
Yeah.
And it's exhausting when you have that many people in your head. It gets crowded in there.
You're like mother hen to so many people. It gets crowded. It does get crowded. And also like... some interesting things that you're talking about is like when anyone looks back at a time period, especially like where most photos were black and white, you see things as black and white. Like, oh, in that time period, people were like this or were like that. Or you have like this specific idea of your grandma just being this way or that way.
Yeah.
And then you're the first person who ever told me like that time period, like the late 30s, were actually extremely colorful.
Very colorful, very modern. And I mean, very modern
and like
in the sense of, I also feel like when I look at photos of people in the past, I don't wear vintage clothes at all, pretty much. And I don't necessarily like, but I work in vintage and period shows all the time. But I feel like when we're looking at pictures of people from the past, they feel very vivid to me. And they just feel like you and I. And I feel like to get it away from a sepia-toned kind of filter, which makes you think that you're not those people from the past and you're different and you're more modern and you're more contemporary and we're more advanced than they are.
Right.
You kind of have to break all that down and just remember that people have been people from the beginning of time. And we're, none of us are alone because we've probably all been going through this stuff in every incarnation, in every era, and in every period. So when I look at black and white photos, I actually, like, I have a hard time actually seeing them in black and white. Like, they actually seem very, like,
that's
I
amazing.
Actually see color in black and white photos because I think of them as, you know, as us and nothing is really black and white. You can stare at a photo and you think it's just an oldie timey photo of a little grandma sitting in a rocking chair, or you can notice that she has runs in her stockings, or that she has, you know, like her hands are worn, or that maybe she has like
she's living.
Yeah, she has like a super rough, like her clothes are really cotton, and then there's like a super ruffly petticoat or something. Maybe it was her nice one that she put on. You just see people in photos and you see details and you just remember that.
We've all been like that's it reminds me of like when you talked about grandma, like you could see it as your grandma or you can be like these people are alive, and it's like,
or it could be you later,
it could be you, because like I have photos of my grandma right before she met my grandpa, and I see her and she looks like me so much that it's a little creepy. I'm like whoa. So this is literally any photo that a friend could take while you're just like out and being like, hey, my family on my dad's side of the family is they've all done things that seem to me like so extremely modern in terms of like how they handle society and how they handle their personal lives.
Interesting.
And they are also like they also have those like old black and white pictures of them. And it's like, oh, we are all just like trying really hard and being the same. So I really love that. But it's got to be draining to put that what you see into a million people in a show. Like it's a lot of work.
It just gets noisy in your head. It's very noisy in
there. I love this.
Everybody's chattering. It's like a dinner party with a lot of guests.
Look at this. Okay, I want to talk to you about this because this is amazing. So it says, the card of change, the hangman, says it's a course of action. It's in a course of action position. And it says, a decisive turnaround will become apparent once you're ready to turn around and change the way you see the world. In your mind, retrace the steps in your life to the place where you remember saying, this is my true goal. This is a valid exercise for both your professional and private life, whatever that means. So it could be like with your friendship associations, like, what are my real friends? Like, why do I want to hang out with them? Like, are they all on the same path that I am? And it's not about career. It's about, like, this card was talking about a little bit social change and evolution. And you're just now talking about the way you envision society and how much, like, you can see from a person. I feel like there's a theme here. I just haven't put it together. It talks about you retracing the steps in your life to where you remember saying, this is what I want to do. And that could take a while because it's not, sometimes I change goals, like I change goals every week, but there's definitely some underlining goals that I've had that maybe I haven't, like, sometimes I get distracted and I'm like, oh, look at this other shiny thing. Look at this other thing. And then I'll go there and explore that for a while. And then I'll be like, what was my goal? Oh, right. Yeah, I wanted to have a voice as a creative person. Blah, blah. And then I'm like, oh, what am I doing that? Like, what will allow me to best do that? Do I still want to do that? So it says, a person who is important for your career creates problems for you. This is a part of this card that makes me laugh. Okay. Stick to your values for this time will soon pass. I don't know what this means.
So stick to, wait, what was that again? Somebody in my life?
A person important in your career creates problems for you. But I don't believe in those parts of the card because I don't being like predicting future part. I like the part, which if you're tuning in for that, forget about this podcast. But it's a little bit, but you can believe it. Maybe it's a good warning and maybe something to remember. Stick to your values for this time will soon pass. But I feel like the Hangman talks about change around you will happen, but it's better if you are the one who decides. I'll hang myself upside down and see how things change. Or like,
right.
It's kind of like people will be like, come with us, come that way. And you're like, I'm going to weirdly hang upside down in this tree.
Right.
I'm going to
see it
do
from
a very different thing now. It's like the card of change.
I've heard like a couple songs in my head from a couple things you've been saying.
Really?
Yeah.
Like what?
Now I'm blanking on it, and because I told you I'm in a cultural black hole because
of course
my 5-year-old in my work career. But wait, what's the one where it's called The Cave, and it came out like a couple years ago, and you walk outside of the cave standing on your head and you see the world hanging upside down.
Ooh, I like that. That's exactly right.
Right? It's that one. And then there's another one back when you're talking about the horses. It's a great, maybe it's because Peter's over here rocking out with all his amazing talent.
Like, it's like a seamless four dimension, but it's not seamless at all. It really changes things.
It's so cool. But there's a great kind of guitar / folk artist called Joe Pug, and he has a song, I forget what it's called, Hem 101 or something like that, and it's like something about dragging the lazy horses. I want to kind of see the forest, and I have to drag the lazy horses in my cart to get there. And I totally, when you were talking about the rising card earlier, I had that in my head.
So I want you to follow that. There's no way not to, right? Because you already had it in your head. And then I'm talking about riding, like making sure you like pull horses to the direction you need to.
Yeah.
Like, so there's no way, to me, there's no way that that's not connected. And that's not part of the message you need to receive right now. Or like, it's going to help you meditate on. Maybe the songs will help you meditate on this.
Yeah, I'm going to go find those songs and listen to them on the drive home.
Yes, please. And then this guy goes from like a nighttime, the rising card goes from a nighttime like ocean trip to like, maybe you like overnight or like spend a little bit of the smallest period of time near the ocean or water. And then here's where you ponder. This is a card of pondering. What is my true mission? I also noticed the tiles by the, like, why does the wings have tiles?
Oh, they do have tiles.
I don't know. What is this like?
Oh, yeah. I would so 3D print that if I was going to build that.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, we would be, like, printing that.
Crap. Also that, like, I love this, like, panel of, like, sun, moon, star, square, 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 square. Why? What?
Yeah.
We'll post the pictures online so you guys can see what we're talking about. But for now, just trust me. He has, it's an angel that like the outside is like feathers and the inside of the wings is like,
or waves.
Moroccan tiles.
Or they could be waves.
It could be waves.
But it's
the waves of change. Who even knows?
Mm-hmm.
I also love that this deck has like Native American and African American angels. It's not everything is not like the same.
Yeah, I like all of the different modalities. Or like, there's not a singular overtone here.
Now we have the card of ending in the in the inverted card position, which talks about something that you maybe need to like. A warning or maybe something that you need to know moving forward. And it talks about first we go from the 12th to the 13th. So you're like, the way to continue to rise is by holding on to your values, seeing things in a different perspective, a little bit waiting and observing, and weighing down and figuring out this is my true goal. And also of a letting go. There's a letting go here. So because in the inverted card position, we have ending, which is death, which means a process has just ended and you need to let it go.
Mm-hmm.
It says that some of the problems you may have to do with ego. So you, if you want to, if your ego wants to be immortal, and everyone's egos wants to be immortal, like I want to be immortal, that's the ego. So that's why we hold on to possessions and people and the past sometimes, to things that we had or have had. But when you do that and you don't let go of the things that you know need to go, you suffer. So the best thing that you can do is reason. So like, this is a card of like, in my life, I have died many small deaths. Now I can recognize and accept this as a natural process. It's a little bit like, because the Hangman is a card of also accepting your destiny and how things have turned out.
Hmm.
And this is a card of accept. It's like the fall, autumn. Like you need those leaves to fall into the ground so that the tree doesn't break. This is that card. So they're all talking about the same, like the way that you decide what to do next and how to rise in your career and how you go up is by right now a little bit. It's kind of like, all right, give it to me. Give me the sword. Give me the pain. Let like almost like find juiciness in the pain of the end. Ooh. That might be like a totally different way to see an ending.
Yeah.
Because maybe you before were like, oh no, but this time around you were like, I'm going to walk around the lot. I'm going to look at some flowers. I'm going to say no to this next thing. I'm going to like really think about what, like you're changing your ways in which you're accepting.
Right.
Change and loss and movement and rising. And that is what this is about, I think. Does this make sense to you?
Yeah, it does. It really does, actually.
Very excited about it.
Yeah. Like a bunch of things that, like I said, it's crowded up and in the head.
In the head, yeah.
So you've actually pulled on a bunch of things.
Yeah, and a lot of
songs. That have already been knocking around.
That's really good. Also, Hangman to Death is like, let yourself see things in such a different perspective that you're willing to let them go fully.
Ooh.
Also, I'm like, this angel is the only angel in this deck, in the Kabbalah Angel Tarot deck, that's an eye with a wing, like a kind of half wing. I don't know. This is so, it's such a confusing image to me.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
it could be.
It's very occult in a way to
me. Yeah, I was about to say maybe it's because of the show that we just came off of.
Yeah, but it just ended and it's true. I mean, we will see what happens next. But for now, we have like all these months of like.
I love that you picked the Kabbalah deck too, because we use a lot of that. And I've been like embroidering the Kabbalah tree of life on many things.
Oh yeah, you did. You did indeed. Wow.
So this is so cool.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Great. So I feel like that's, unless you have more questions, I feel like that's the tarot part of this deck. I don't know if that answered. It feels like almost like, all right.
It feels more reassuring that maybe what, like I can rest a little bit and just reassured that I can, like I said, I just turned down that job and I can't, this is the first time in my life I can't necessarily see the next thing.
Yeah.
And it's been a little...
Maybe that's a good
thing. A little scary, because my whole life up to now, I feel like I've been very
able to
see like a path or the dominoes and see the, you know, and this is the first time where it's a little quieter, muddier.
Yeah.
So this is reassuring.
And it's funny because this card, the seven, the rising chariot, is a card of action and moving forward. So I thought we were going to get an answer about what to do next, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
But then the next two cards are about letting go and ending of a process and reassessing.
Yeah.
So it's almost like you can't take action yet. You can't decide yet. You can't see the path yet. It's not for you to see yet. It's for you to hang up like this, like upside down.
Mm-hmm.
You need to hang upside down and kind of like when the kids, like, you shake your pockets empty, like those cartoons.
Oh my gosh. And now you just brought it back. Okay, so my mentor used to say, like, of me, that her favorite thing to do is like walk in the room and then turn me upside down and shake out everything that was in my head.
Whoa. Yeah, that's what you need to do now.
Yeah, so maybe I need to do that to myself.
Maybe is your mentor around still? Like,
yes, she's amazing. She's around still.
Yeah.
She just got back in town, so maybe I'll call her too.
Maybe she can do that for you. Maybe she can help you hang yourself upside down and shake your head.
Yes.
In a way that's inactive.
Yes.
In a weirdly inactive way.
Yes.
I feel like this is like how you find your next action is through this inaction. That's like the top, like that's as far into the future as I can see.
It's a little counterintuitive, but that is definitely what's
getting communicated. But that's what you're doing. You're like saying no to this project and being like, but okay, it's new. It's new. You're going new.
Yes.
All right. So now I'm going to do... Thank you, first of all, for letting me read your cards and talking.
Thanks for having me.
Also, you drew an amazing Wheel of Fortune. I cannot believe this. The entire time she did not stop coloring the tarot coloring book, which I love. So now we're going to do a little bit. Is it time, Brett? Yes. The interactive part of this podcast.
Ooh.
So you can stick around for it, but... let me see what deck I'm going to pull. All right. So what I'm going to do is, you guys at home, if you're still screaming at your children,
what the fuck?
So you're driving your car, you're doing your thing, you're ironing your shirts. Who does that? I don't know. You're mopping the floor still. You haven't finished. You live in a large space. You're feeding your cat. I want you to think of a question right now, whatever it is in your head. Don't ask yes or no questions because they're useless. I'm never going to say yes or no. Unless... No, I'm never going to say yes or no. Not for this. Like, it's too general. So ask a question, or maybe just think of a topic. Something like my cat. Or something in your head. Something that's been going around your head. Or my love life. Just very general. Or be fully open and just pick a number. So once you have your question in your head, I'm going to pull three cards. And I'm going to have you pick a number. And you're going to pick which one of the numbers. And that's going to be your card. So that's the interactive portion of this. And this applies for whenever you're listening to this for the first time. So think of a question. Think of a question. I'm pulling out... card number one. Keep thinking of the question. If someone's talking to you, say no. 1 second. And think of the question. If you want, take a deep breath and think of a question. Don't take life too seriously, but you know, you can do a ritual thing where you take a breath. And now we're going to card number one. I'm going to pull card number two, kind of flipped on its own, and then card number three. Think of a question. All right, and now pick a number between 1, 2, and 3. Pick a number now. It's time now. Stick with the number. Stick with it. Don't change it. You have your number. All right. If you pick card number one, you got the Three of Cups. Rejoice in celebration. Woohoo. All right. So a lot of people always say this is a third party situation card. I don't see it that way. I see it like the end of a process that's emotional. I see it like there's three hands holding three cups and everyone's cheering. It almost seems like rosé, so it's like maybe a summer celebration. If you're wondering about a project, I think the best way to go about it is through collaboration, through following your bliss, through listening to your heart, and only doing it with people that you really feel they're a match, some people that you would like to be social with. Those are the people that you should work with. If you're wondering about your love life, maybe it could be a third party situation, but what I see here is more like a time to go from hermit mode to summertime mode. Like maybe you hang out with other couples, or maybe you reach out, if you're in a couple, reach out to your single friends and see what they're up to, like how their lives is going. Sometimes when you're in a relationship, you forget about your single friends. And if you're single, you maybe can reach out to your friends who are in relationships, and don't be afraid. Just because they're in a relationship doesn't mean that you guys can't hang out or you can't have fun together. I'm also seeing, in terms of, I don't see any money, anything like that here. What I'm seeing is maybe like a little bit of fancy partying. If you have an opportunity to dress up and be a little fancy, go ahead and do it, because you're going to feel really good about it. And don't drink too much, I think. If you pick card number two, yeah, this is what I thought. Another three, but this is heartache and loss. So this is the Three of Swords. So in this Oracle deck specifically, I think it feels as if you're drowning in your emotions. It feels as if your heart has been stabbed by something. But truly, what seems like your heart is your empowerment. Something has been hurt that is like your empowerment. I see also like a trip here, maybe. Like a plane. I'm sorry, I'm being abstract. I don't know why. But basically, if you're wondering if something is going to hurt you, this is a card that might say that. But also, maybe the pain comes from within, and maybe you already have felt it, and maybe there's nothing to lose after that. So remember, you kind of create your own life. So if you're like putting those thoughts into going into a future situation, it's good to listen to the warnings and yourself. But it's also good to check what's the limit between listening to yourself and kind of creating that reality for yourself, right? So be very mindful of your own thoughts and where they're placed. And wherever you spend most of the time in your head, that's where you live. Also, whatever hurt your heart can be sewn back together. And there's a little bit of meditation and retrieval to alone time. If you're wondering about a project, it might be good to watch out for anything that will take your power away, your own power, your sense of empowerment. If you don't feel empowered by something, don't go for it, or wait until you do. That's the best way to start something. If you're wondering about a relationship, this might be something to watch out for. Not in a bad way, just like remember, you create your own reality too, and so maybe you're a little paranoid. I'm seeing paranoia a little bit here. And be warm. Okay, if you pick card number three, you got the Hierophant, Wisdom. So now it's time to go back to groups and structures and see organizations that could help you with what you're struggling with or what you're looking for. Maybe there's a gym that you can join. Maybe there's a spiritual group or people that you want to do moon rituals with. Maybe you want to go and, with your new knowledge that you've attained, go and visit families. If you're like in a, feels almost like a door-to-door salesman situation. But instead of selling, you're going and visiting friends to talk to them about really amazing things and happy things that they can do. Or maybe you've attained new knowledge and you're now sharing it with other people in a way that's selfless and kind of fun. Pay attention to your pets. And remember that it doesn't matter what group you're part of. As an individual, you write your own book. But maybe it's time to go for groups of friends or some structures that will give you... Oh my God, what am I trying to say? I feel like this book, this is like a book shining light. It's like you write your own book, but also you can do it with the guidelines of an organization or... Like, you can exercise and create your own body, but you can do it also within the guidelines of, like, maybe you have a workout buddy, you know? Like, maybe you create, like, a schedule with other two buddies, and now you have a way to all be there for each other and make sure that you all exercise. And same with, like, maybe you have to go to AA. Fuck. I'm saying all I see in this card right now. Also remember to find the joy in the group. Don't just like be on your own, because a lot of like the biggest projects cannot be done if you're alone. To make a short film, to do a podcast, to do anything creative that you want, you always do better when you find your people. So maybe it's time to go out and find your people. All right, I feel like those are the cards. Seems like a lot. I'm sorry if it made no sense. Since it's a general read, I say literally everything I can think of, and you guys take what you feel like is good for you, and whatever or not, just spit at it with your mouth. All right, is that it? I feel like this is it.
This is amazing.
So thank you, J.R. Hallbaker. I feel like I can confidently say it in the music. PMK. Peter Mark Kendall. See you in the next episode of Sassy Tarot. I'm Veronica Osorio. Bye-bye.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.